Next step, 633-723-2020.
Oh. Hi there, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Thanks for tuning into the next step with Father Vazgen. We are the voice of Armadoxy, a weekly podcast started in 2008 that looks at life through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. If you're joining us for the first time, we're so glad you're here. And if you're a regular listener, welcome back. In these weekly episodes, you will find that Father Vazgen's messages are timely, thought-provoking, and based on the solid principles of Christ's love, faith, and hope. Now, let's get ready to take the next step.
Emptiness. Emptiness. It's all empty. I'm catching up on the news this morning. I'm listening to different video clips, little sound files, people talking. Empty, empty talk. What are they talking about? You've got issues going on in the world. There's like COVID-19 is now pandemic that is plus since it was just a few months ago. Now we in California, by the way, have the distinct honor in the entire United States of having the highest rate of COVID-19 infection. Yeah, that was just found out this morning. And last week, we found out that the United States had surpassed everybody else in COVID-19. I think there's different measures by which there's the deaths and the infections, so on. But whatever it is, it's big time, right? And people are talking and commenting about it. Meanwhile, Black Lives Matter, there's talking, and people are reacting to this, and celebrities are coming out, and then you have the anti-celebrities getting up and saying anti-this and everything. And you've got conservatives talking. They even came out with a movie, conservative talk show host. Can't remember his name, Larry something. He came out with an Uncle Tom movie that they're selling. They're selling. They're not interested in giving it away free, of course. They're selling it. I mean, yeah, somebody's making a buck over here. And people are commenting about, like, the aggression that we're seeing from China. And we're talking about the borders over here on Mexico. And you realize it's empty. Emptiness. But listen, I'm going to share with you this little bit of writing. It says, emptiness, emptiness. All is empty. And this isn't written today about the situation today. What I just read is written from the real BC. No, not, I'm not talking about BC before Corona. I'm not talking about 5 months ago. I'm talking about the real BC. 200, 300, 400 years before Christ. It's from the book of Ecclesiastes. It's the opening verses. And you probably like me are familiar with the verbiage vanity. Vanity, it is all in vain. And so this morning as I'm watching these different clips here and there, I was also doing my Bible study. I was preparing for my Bible study and reading my personal reflections on Bible. And this morning I went to the book of Ecclesiastes. Now I read from a book, I read from the Bible, the New English Translation. And this is, let's see, what does it say? The New English Bible with Apocrypha. This is from 1970. When I was a seminarian in the mid-70s, this was the Bible that I used. And I kind of like it for a lot of reasons. The simplicity of the language and its authenticity to the original script. I was a seminarian. We took a lot of Hebrew. We learned the Greek. And this was a translation that came up with a lot of scholarship involved. And so I became familiar with this, and I have a comfort zone in it. So when I read the Bible for my sake, not in necessarily for preparation, but for my sake, I choose to read from this translation. It's not available anymore. If you could find an old copy of it, yeah, they're here and there. In fact, I saw it on my father-in-law's shelf, and I spied it. It's a nicer version. Mine is pretty beaten up. So one day I got to ask him for that one. As soon as mine, it's probably no longer readable. But for right now, it is. And so I'm at the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, this book is attributed to the writing of King Solomon. Most current biblical scholarship says no, it was probably someone else, or maybe a compilation of a few different authors. But whatever the case, incredible wisdom is given to us here. But listen to it and tell me what's missing from it, okay? And if you're attuned to Armadoxy, you might catch on to this. But this is what it says. It says, emptiness, emptiness, says the speaker. Emptiness, all is empty. What does man gain from all his labor and his toil here under the sun? Generations come and generations go, while the earth endures forever. That's beautiful, isn't it? But it's also telling us that there is an emptiness. Would you call it vanity? You call it emptiness. I am going to take the empty word, because it really describes where we're at today, doesn't it? I mean, when we talk about social media and why social media has taken off the way it has, it's basically filling up the emptiness in our lives. We've done away with communities. We've done away with that idea of being together. And so through social media, we're connecting with people that we don't even know. And these people are connecting with us and are connecting with other people. And we're seeing this huge world coming together on two-dimensional platforms. That being said, I want to tell you, a few weeks ago when I talked about the fourth dimension, that has gotten such repercussions. I can't thank you enough for the incredible messages that have really been like a dialogue with me. I'm really enjoying this. That fourth dimension one, I'll put a link on today's show notes. If you missed it, do listen to it. But basically, it's the idea that we do live in four dimensions. Why are we discounting where we are in that fourth dimension? And very briefly, I mean, if you were to look up anything, let's say you were to look up, Mr. Zane, okay? Mr. Zane's address is 715 Hoover Street. That's a coordinate on a map, isn't it? Now, to find it, you have two dimensions. You say, let's say, Hoover and Melrose Street, okay? So at the corner of Hoover and Melrose, you might find a Mr. Zane. That's two dimensions. One's go with the two lines perpendicular to each other. Now, when you get to Hoover and Melrose and you look for Mr. Zane, you see, oh, wait, he's not there. He's gone upstairs in the house. So now you've got a third dimension. He's gone up some stairs into the house. So he's not at the street level. He's up in the house. Three dimensions. But here's the fun part. If you went to that address, you would not find Mr. Zane. Why? Because I've left out the fourth dimension, which is time. Namely, that I want you to be at that location. Those three dimensions come together at a certain point in time, let's say today at 7:30, okay? If you showed up there in 1992, he's not there. You showed up there yesterday. Wasn't there, but no, there's a fourth dimension. There's a time. And so why are we missing the point when it comes to that in our spiritual needs when we're talking about life and where we are and how God interacts with us? And when you listen to Ecclesiastes, yes, it's something that's written 3,000 years ago. And yes, you can look at it and say, wow, that sounds very much like our life today, but it isn't our life today, is it? Because our life is changing and our life is over here. And this brings it home. When I read this morning, I thought to myself, wow, let me read it to you and let's see if you can catch it, okay? Emptiness. Emptiness, says the speaker. Emptiness, all is empty. What does man gain from all his labor and his toil here under the sun? Generations come and generations go while the earth endures forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down. Back it returns to its place and rises there again. The wind blows south, the wind blows north. Round and round it goes and returns full circle. All streams run into the sea, yet the sea never overflows. Back to the place from which the streams ran, they return to run again. That's not only a truth, it's beautiful. It's beautifully stated. It's poetic, isn't it? All things are wearisome. No man can speak of them. Is not the eye surfeited with seeing, and the ear sated with hearing? What has happened will happen again, and what has been done will be done again, and there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is new? No, it has already existed long ago, before our time. The men of old are not remembered, and those who follow will not be remembered by those who follow them. I am reading this morning and I'm saying, wow, how appropriate for our world today. You go on and you read, and I really invite you to read the entire book, but at least the first few chapters, read them. I was just mesmerized this morning as I was reading through it. How reflective it is of our day and age today, about the emptiness that is all around us and the emptiness we are feeling. But what is missing out of this? Could you tell? Could you tell? Yeah. Now let me, if you should know that, but if you don't know, Ecclesiastes is one of the Hebrew canon. In other words, it's in what we call the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes is also in most Christian canons. I don't know of any Christian denomination that doesn't include it in their biblical canon. But for the main apostolic traditions, whether it's the Orthodox or the Roman Catholic, yes, it's part of our canon and we listen to it. But what's off over here? There is nothing new under the sun. And you can point to that and you could say, wow, what he said 3,000 years ago, yeah, it's the same right now, except for one thing. Jesus Christ. He wrote this before Jesus Christ. There is nothing new under the sun. Well, excuse me, Jesus Christ, completely new. The new Adam, right? The new opportunity, the new resurrection, the new connection. There it is, space and time coming together. On a time continuum, there is a certain time in history, God revealed. The manifestation of God. And last week, we celebrated what? The transfiguration of Jesus Christ. What was that? God revealing himself again, the author of life, with the light. He is shining. He is radiating. And if you missed last week's podcast, you know what? If you missed last week's and the week before, these are two that essentials that you've got to get into. Also, last Sunday, I preached about this too. Why are we not tapping into this one source of energy, this one source of victory? I mean, when we're looking at the world, we are so quick to go to politicians to beg them, please look at this case, let's see what's going on, and things are going on here and there, and we're scared to death to really touch and tap into the one energy that we know that we have. I mean, think about just the entire Armenian situation I shared with you, and you should know by now. If not, it's bizarre that we as Armenians, as the first Christian nation, we're still appealing to old systems that have nothing to do with a victory, because they are an appeal to people who could care less about us. Follow me on this. How many Armenians in the entire world? 10 million? Okay. If you look around the few of the towns right around you, take a look at the places around you, find a few cities next to you, there's probably more than 10 million people in those cities. I know here in Los Angeles County, there's more than 10 million people, okay? And I'm not talking about people in Armenia, but Armenians throughout the world. People in Armenia is much less, under 3 million. So last week, the Azeris are hitting the Armenians. They started attacking Armenian villages, especially in Tavush. Armenians had no choice but to get out there and defend themselves. And, you know, I'm very scared of this. This is a pretty grave situation because it has all of the elements that took place in 1915. The world was consumed with other things. 1915, they were on the brink of World War I. Today, we are looking at COVID, at politics, unlike anything we've seen before. And it's a perfect time for the enemy to slip in, do their work, just like they did in 1915. And unfortunately, what we're doing is we're making the same mistake by appealing to people who could care less about us. We're not that force to be reckoned with unless we can say what we've been advocating for years, to leverage what we do have, right? I mean, Archimedes, right? He says, if you have a lever long enough, you can move anything. Okay, so we have very little power. But if you could leverage that power, you can move big things. So I've been sharing with you the power. This is where Christianity comes into. This is why I'm saying today, when we're talking about the transfiguration, we're missing the point. We're like St. Peter who looks off and says, hey, let me build you a tent. We're getting excited because we can celebrate the transfiguration by pouring water on one another and remembering some goddess from the 3rd century BC. Or who cares? You know, have fun. You want to squirt water on yourself? Do it. God bless you. God has given us an opportunity to connect with all of eternity. And we're sitting there and we're asking people to, hey, take a look at us. They don't care about us. But we have to start caring about ourselves. Just a couple days ago, they went to the Azeri consulate. And a consulate or embassy, I guess it's the consulate, here in Westwood. It's a little suburb of Los Angeles. And they protested. That was fantastic. That's the right place to protest. Not at Glendale City Hall. They go to the Azeri consulate and they protest the aggression that Azerbaijan has shown towards Armenia. They're protesting. And then they break out in a line dance. What? Yeah. In the middle of all this, they put the pictures of our fallen heroes, of these martyred young men, up on signs, and they start dancing. And I was repulsed. I was saying, wow, is this what it comes down to? But I'll tell you something even more repulsive. At this demonstration, they're yelling and chanting in Armenian. Do you know what it costs? Do you know what it costs to get good PR? Do you know what it costs to get any of the major networks, whether it's ABC, CBS, NBC, or Fox? Do you know what it costs to get them to come out and cover your event? And here you have the opportunity where you've got a few thousand people on the streets and they're coming to you. And instead of getting your message out, you start chanting and speaking in Armenian. What? What planet are you on? And so all this is taking place. All this is going on. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, we have this opportunity. This is what we learned on the Transfiguration. That there is an opportunity to connect with God eternal. And if God's on your side, who can dare to be against you? But here's the problem. We're not demonstrating it. We're not believing in that. We're not living it out. We have this opportunity. And when you look at all the challenges that are in front of us and how we need to leverage ourselves, our only hope is that leveraging of love. I've shared that with you. I will share it again tonight. I'll put all these links on today's show notes so you can educate yourself. You need to get this message out. You need to get this message out that the world today needs the power of love. I mean, we're sitting around talking about, yeah, well, if they hit us, we're going to hit them back. At some point, you've got to recognize that you don't have the power to hit back constantly. You can't hit back. You've got to find a better avenue. There is a fire over there. You don't put it out by adding more fire. You put it out by using a hose, by extinguishing it. And we do have that power. We have that eternal power. But, you know, I'm saying it's not an easy one. It's so much easier to go out there and dance than it is to say something about Darfur, than it is to talk about Rwanda or talk about what happened in Ethiopia. See, if along the way we as Armenians could have seen a little bit more than ourselves, we could have been out there and talking, as I've been doing for the last 20 years. Talking about what happened in Rwanda, what happened in Darfur, and how we as Armenians have an obligation to do something about it. Then guess what? Today, when they look at you, they say, oh yeah, these aren't the guys that are just out there protesting. These are the guys that are doing something for peace in the world. Can you imagine if we had that degree? If that was our diploma, the authors of peace, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. Wow. But we're not convinced of this. We're not convinced of this. We're not even talking about it. Emptiness. And so, I bring you back to the words of Ecclesiastes. There's nothing new under the sun. And if you want to buy into that, that's fine. There it is. There's your Old Testament narrative. You don't need to put the New Testament on there, do you? But if you are going to put the New Testament, then you need to believe in that New Testament. You need to believe that that transfigured Jesus Christ is giving you a chance to connect with the God of eternity. I'm going to put a few things online today in today's show notes. I really, not only the last two about the fourth dimension, about missing the point. I'm going to put this Sunday's sermon. I spoke at St. Gregory the Illuminator Armenian Church in Pasadena. Very weird setup, by the way. We had just gotten the okay to open up our churches, and this Sunday we had to close them down. So weird in the sense that, whoa, here we were again. I'm doing the celebrating the Divine Liturgy. I have one deacon, I have one soloist, one organist, and three people doing the video. So I've got an incredible video that I'd love to share with you. So I'll make sure that that's on there too. But please listen to the message there. It's in an Armenian and in English. And I'll also put the leveraging love. There's one other final thing that just came in. I have it in my notes to talk about. But thank you to our dear friend, Harry Hagopian. He has put together an article which I have not yet read, but just suffice it to say that he has written it. It's his opinion piece. It's called Hagia Sophia, Mosque, Cathedral, or Museum. It's one of the issues that we needed to be discussing, we need to be talking about. You know that tomorrow, or as we speak right now, that Hagia Sophia, the Greek church, is going to be converted into a mosque. It was a mosque during the Ottoman years. It became a museum. There's a whole history to it. And again, we're arguing. To me personally, these are the biggest... I get too emotional about them. I remember being in Gars a few years ago, and that was the one place that I could not enter. The Holy Apostles Church, Sırpotzara Kelots in Gars. They had taken that church and converted it into a mosque. I literally could not move my steps to move into that church. Did not want to go in. I could not go in there. So, and now today, Hagia Sophia is going to be converted into a mosque. If I remember right, it was July 24th, and I do have that on my notes that I did want to talk about, but then I think this must have come from God. There is a divine connection. Harry, if you're listening, thank you very much. Because as I am recording, I have one screen in this. We have three screens in the studio. One screen which has my email on it, and there it is. came up just now. It came up with a message from Harry Hagopian, an email, Hagia Sophia Mosque, Cathedral, or Museum. And I didn't even make the connection, but it says Hagia Sophia in Istanbul. The name denotes holy wisdom in Greek. Interesting that we chose to talk today about wisdom coming to us from Ecclesiastes. So it all connects, doesn't it? Anyway, I will put a link on today's show notes. Do read it. I'll look forward to reading it right after the show today. But for right now, we take a little break every week to play a little song, a little melody, some music to kind of change the tone, but also to celebrate some of the creativity that we have within our community. Give us a time to take a break, and then we'll resurface. For the second portion, which today we're going to be talking about a new game. Yeah, not Monopoly, but our Monopoly and its implications for today. Well, of course, you kind of figured that. But for right now, I have a little treat for you, and I hope you enjoy this. Baba Janyan, of course, Dance of Vagar Shabad, Anahid Nersesyan, on concert piano. Yeah, have to mention that. Not a keyboard. She's on a concert piano, on a big grand piano, and beautifully done. I wanted to play something a little bit uplifting, because so much of life all around us is a little bit too down, you know. And Dance of Vagar Shabad, you could just feel it. You could feel the her fingers going right on that keyboard and dancing on that keyboard. And I happen to have seen this choreographed, and it's just a beautiful dance. Anyway, I will put a link on today's show notes so that you can check out not only this song, but all of the beautiful music that she's put together, compiled together, and shares her talent with our world. Do support these artists. Well, I did tell you during the second portion of today's show, we go a little bit lighter and we talk about a fun game that just came out. Actually, last week, just before I concluded the show, I received the Our Monopoly game. And I said, if you wait 1 week, I'd love to review it. So I want to do that review coming up. But before doing that, I want to talk about something brilliant, creative, just like our Monopoly, but this is on the spiritual plane. And I'm very, very excited by what's going on. So for the past month, month and a half, we've been having prayers on our diocesan Facebook page on a regular basis, not just by the priests, but by families, by congregants, by young people. This started off in June. We started off, our primate asked me to organize an evening of prayer. Every night, without exception, on our Facebook page, 7:30 p.m. Pacific time, our time, yeah. So most of the people in the world are asleep by this time or are already in tomorrow. So you usually pick them up a little bit later. We notice by the counts, you know, there's maybe a few hundred people that'll watch it on the original night, and then it shoots up all the way up to a couple thousand the next day because, you know, obviously we're at the end of the time zones here in the Pacific time zone. But what's exciting about it is that we have now transcended. We have gone beyond the traditional. We have people who are praying and beautiful prayer services. We've basically given an outline. I've given each of the participants the outline of here are the Psalms, you know, pick the Psalms, pick out a scriptural passage from the Old Testament, from one of the letters, and one of the Gospels. There's the singing of Surpastvads, the singing of Christ is within us, singing of Nayat Sirov, other Sharagans as well. And then there are some prayers of the heart that each of the participants offers. And I think it's just so beautiful to watch sometimes families, watch friends get up there, sometimes just a couple guys getting together and praying together. And to me, it signals something so necessary in the Armenian church. And I'm excited about it, but I have to tell you also, I'm concerned because people do not share that excitement. You know, it's interesting how people are so critical at moments. Like, we need English in the Armenian church. And then you do the English and you hear crickets. Like, how about encouraging that and saying, hey, thank you for doing that. We need to have prayers in the Armenian church. Well, what do you think Nerse Shnorali is? What do you think that Datevatsi wrote? Well, no. We need to have prayers from the people. Okay. So we started writing prayers for the unemployed, for the sick, for the bereaved. No, not for the ones, not Hokianki's, not for people who have died, but for the bereaved, the people who are left to deal with life. So all of these things, we've been doing them, but here's the exciting part. These are novelties in the Armenian church, which people have been waiting for and asking for. But once they're out there, crickets. Crickets, again, crickets. Like, you don't hear anything. It's just, it's kind of like mind-boggling. But then I start looking and I start seeing what people do. The other day, Ara the Rat, very famous kind of Armenian blog, he wrote, he put on there something. Let me see if I can pull it up. I'm not going to even put it on our show notes because I was offended by it. Gomidas, The Future Thinker, The Unknown Story of an Armenian Icon, by R.P. Haroyan, writing about, like, Gomidas. He was a man, he was a priest, and, you know, he's not supposed to laugh. Every stereotype that you know of a priest, she's kind of like appealed to those stereotypes. And kind of make through innuendo, kind of like trying to excite us, like, what is he thinking, what is he doing? And you know what? It just cheapened the whole story. If you remember last year, we did a conference called Gomidas, the Priest. You know, Gomidas is so well known within the Armenian community that he's referred to like a share, just a one-namer, right? Or like a Madonna, you know, just one-namer, Gomidas, and you know who it is. But actually, he's Father Gomidas. He's Gomidas Vartabed. So if you saw him in the street, you'd say, Astvad Zoknagan Hayr Surp. You'd see him and you'd say, Hayr Gomidas. But we know him as Gomidas. And this article just cheapened Gomidas. Just cheapened it. And it was like, you know, like, turned it adolescent talk, you know. Did you know Gomidas had feelings? Did you know that Gomidas, your priest can't dance, a priest can't sing, a priest can't... Where do people get this stuff? And you start wondering, like, what is wrong with people that especially the inheritors of the first Christian nation would end up to be something like this? But then you understand that it's just basically human nature to criticize what you don't know and what you don't want to know and what you cannot understand. And you know, in a few minutes, I'm going to share with you about a new game that came out, Our Monopoly. But, you know, in doing the research for it, it's like, I'm reading comments on it. You know, one of the first things, instead of praising this and saying, wow, this is like fantastic. You know, what a great little idea. Okay, it's not sliced bread. It's not the end of the world, but it is something nice amidst the COVID pandemic. Isn't it nice that somebody comes up with an idea like Our Monopoly? And you're going to, you know, I want to share it with you, but, you know, the comment on there, you know, well, like, it's unapologetically capitalist game with communist orthography. Okay, so like the writer of that comment wanted to share with people, hey, I know a word orthography that you don't know. And Armenians have different kinds of spelling and different ways of understanding and translating. It's a game, you know, enjoy it, okay? And this is why I wanted to share with you that it's so beautiful that we have these young families, these young people getting together, and every night of the week they're getting together and they're praying and they're offering it. And what's beautiful about it is it's not apologetic. It's like, hey, just come and tune in and you can pray with us. You could sing with us. You know, some people read, some people close their eyes and pray. And instead of getting consumed by the mechanics, how about just praying with us? It's like what I was saying during the first portion of today's show. We're not tapping into that energy that can save us, even from ourselves. So I wanted to just share this with you. It is something really exciting. I'm going to put a link on today's show notes to the Western Diocese Facebook page. I want you to check it out any night of the week. And they're there afterwards too. We don't pull them off after that night, but do check out some of them. And there's some beautiful, beautiful prayers that are being offered. They also reflect the thoughts, the heartfelt thoughts of a new generation of people. Okay, I promised you Our Monopoly. Capitalism. Oh, yes, capitalism. It's alive and well and expanding. I remember growing up during the Cold War, and it was capitalism versus communism. And now there's talk about communism coming back, and they're talking about it and fear-mongering here and there. But in the midst of all of this, guess what? Capitalism gets another check mark. Our Monopoly, a new game, Our Monopoly, based on the ultimate capitalist game there is, right? Monopoly. If you haven't played Monopoly, it's probably because you're not in a country where capitalism is encouraged. But let me tell you, here in America, wow, this was one of the funnest games we'd play as kids. Sometimes going on for, I don't want to say days, but quite a long time. I mean, you could go. It was really a clever game in that it's a four-sided board. And you run your piece over and over, and really doesn't get tiring because it's a skill to be able to manage your money, to be able to make the proper investments. And if played right, which not everybody does play right, it can be, you know, very mentally stimulating. And I say that because there's all kinds of different rules to Monopoly. There's, of course, the strict rules that come with the package, the ones that Parker Brothers had come up with early in the game. But there's also different renditions of it. And, you know, if you're a young kid, you probably could relate about the free parking, about the money in the middle. And there's all kinds of things about, like, I remember not learning about mortgaging properties till way later. I think when I first learned that there was a mortgage, that was the way that I was going to live, by living with a mortgage. So you mortgage properties on Monopoly as well. Anyway, it is a board game, Monopoly by Parker Brothers. It is the mainstay, steady diet, always on the shelf in any store you go to here in America. And just recently, we saw that there is a new version of it called Our Monopoly. And I was so excited about it. I reached out to the authors of it. Actually, a brother in Christ, Father Avedis Kalajan, he had put it up on his Facebook page and said that the proceeds go to the St. Mesrob Armenian Church. So, wow, how could we not? How could we not participate in this? So I reached out, got a copy of it. I have it in front of me, and I want to share it with you. First of all, it is just really brilliant the way it's done. It's beautiful to the point that it's inviting. You look at it and you say, wow, I want to play this game. So let's talk a little bit about it. Of course, in Monopoly, there's four sides, and you go through buying properties, collecting rent on the properties that you've got, and you are able to also participate in some, you know, utilities, in railroads. Okay, let's talk about railroads. If you're used to Monopoly, you know that on all four sides there is a railroad company. Well, how about this? On our Monopoly, those railroads are translated into, well, the natural wonders of Armenia. You've got, of course, Mount Ararat. You've got Lake Sevan, Mount Arakas, or the Arakas Mountains, and you've got the Arax River. Wow! Purchase them for $250 each. The prices, by the way, are all the same as traditional Monopoly, so each of the board areas, they've not been adjusted to inflation. They've not been converted to dram. They are just the regular dollar amounts. Good old American hard cash or Monopoly money. Now, before getting to the different properties that are on here, which are very clever, and so let me tell you about the one spot that you want to avoid, right? In Monopoly, you know that if you pick up the wrong card, or you, I think it's three doubles in a row, you end up in jail. You do not want to go to jail. Do not go to jail. There is a go to jail square two. Well, on our Monopoly, you've got Horvirab. Whoa, yeah. The jail. Horvirab. And instead of just visiting jail, it's walking the tightrope over Horvirab. Of course, that's the pit where St. Gregory was sentenced. You've got also the utilities. One of them is Jermuk, which is the hot water springs, and the other one is Mezamor, of course, very appropriate. You've got the nuclear power plant, which is yours for $175. Community chest and chance are taken up with the pomegranate card or the Armenian coffee cup. I cannot wait to pick up an Armenian coffee card, just to see what's on it. Now, my sister dabbles with the Armenian coffee. I've got a family of Armenian coffee people, so looking forward to playing this game with everybody around the room, having our Armenian coffee, but also picking up one of those cards. Now, the properties themselves. So you go from cheapest to most expensive. On a traditional Monopoly board, I believe the cheapest is either Mediterranean or Baltic Avenue, one of the cheapo spots. And then you go up and, you know, you go through the Atlantic and the Pacific and you get to Boardwalk and Park Place. These are the primo lots in traditional Monopoly. What are the primos here on our Monopoly? Well, what else? The Mother Sea. Etchmiadzin. And if you're going to balance it off, you've got to have next to it Sis. So you've got Etchmiadzin and Sis next to each other, taking up the big blue spot. Oh, whoa. And I just noticed, wow, that the colors are different than traditional Monopoly, but hey, it's okay. It's the game. Now, let me share with you some ideas. First of all, I love the creativity. I love the energy that's put into this. And I love the idea that by playing a game, you not only learn about capitalism, but you get a little bit of a lesson about Armenia, Armenian life and Armenian history. For in fact, each of the properties and each of the events have a learning element as well. The cards have brief histories, have brief reminders of what these places are. So it becomes a learning experience, a learning tool as well. So my first and foremost reason why you should really get one of these is to encourage creativity. That is always beautiful. And when you see this, I will definitely have a link on today's show notes so you can order yours and thereby encourage creativity and also learn something. I mean, just think about it. The Go, you pass Go and you get $200. Well, what is Go? It's the beginning. And very reasonably, it's Urartu. Why not? Yes, you start off where it all began, at Urartu. Let me share with you a couple of the cards because they're like little lessons. Constantinople, you could pick this up for a song. You know, how much is Constantinople? Ooh, $260. So you turn it around and it tells you, home of the Armenian Patriarchate of Constantinople, established in 1461. It serves the Armenians of Turkey, its many parishes, schools, and other institutions. And then in transliteration, it says, Bolis. Or how about one of the cards that you pick up? Gotta quench that thirst or need a spa day. Advance to Jermuk. Hey, now I know that. Yeah, I mean, it's really clever. It's very well done. And it just deserves a lot of attention. And people need to encourage this kind of this kind of creativity. Anyway, let me read to you the ad, and I will definitely put a link on today's show notes so that you can order it. It says, introducing our Monopoly. Game includes everything you need to play. Our Monopoly game board, our Monopoly property cards, our Monopoly chance and community chest cards, Nur and Surj. So they've got those in quotes, you know, so they're giving you their Nur and Surj in its place. And the original Monopoly box coming with money, game pieces, dice, rules, and houses and hotels. And I've got to tell you, the game pieces include a beautiful penguin. I'm just excited. I mean, that in itself made the game. Anyway, I hope you take a look at this. It's really fun, and I just wanted to share it with you. And on top of everything else, the $59 suggested donation, it goes to support the St. Mesrop Armenian Church. It says Wisconsin, but I believe it's in Racine, Wisconsin. Got to say that with pride, too. My wife Susan's uncle is a member over there. I've been there twice. I remember in the 1980s going there for grandma's funeral service. And then just a few years back, we went there. And what really impressed me was that it was in between pastors and just reading about all the social work that they're doing over there. Just very, very impressed. So let me say it like that, okay? It's a double bonus. You get a copy of the Our Monopoly game and you get to contribute to something that's really doing some great work over there. So listen, to order, just check out our show notes today. There'll be a link on there, or you can write to them at armenopoly, that's armenopoly, at gmail.com. Tell them you heard it on The Next Step. Yeah, that's pretty wild, isn't it? Let Susie now tell you how to connect with us.
Here again, popping in to say thank you to you, our listeners. We are thankful for your prayers, kind expressions, and donations. You make this podcast possible. Your listenership and support has allowed us to grow and expand our ministry around the globe. We are grateful to be able to touch so many lives and create lasting friendships. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world and look forward to your continued support. Thank you and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, thank you, Susie, for that announcement. Thank you, all of our listeners. Thank you for the wonderful letters that you send my way. I really appreciate your encouragement, your thoughtfulness, even the little messages, the short little messages. They go a long way. Trust me, they really do. Sometimes it gets very lonely on this side, and I'm not talking about being quiet. It's just about being, you know, understanding, are people listening? It's especially during a pandemic when you're in a church, for instance, and you're talking to nobody except a camera lens. You don't know who's on the other side. You know, we've been doing some a lot of filming through the diocese. We've got the WD-168 when, and we see the numbers and we get the responses. Those are very encouraging. Otherwise, it's just the camera and you, and you are, or in this case, it's a microphone and me. So I really, really appreciate more than anything else and more than you could ever imagine your prayers for this ministry. It's those prayers which gives us the energy, and we feel them. We all feel them. So with that being said, let me also tell you that some of my responsibilities at the Western Diocese are expanding and have expanded. There's a little write-up about that on the Diocesan website. I'll put a link on today's show notes so you can check that out as well. I know people have been asking about the switchover from In His Shoes. We are going to put out a press release on that from In His Shoes coming up at the end of this month. And look for that in your email. If you're not on our list, just drop us a note. You can always drop us a note about anything that we do within this ministry. It's feedback@epostle.net. Very easy name to remember. That's Apostle with an E, because it's apostolic evangelism for an electronic universe. Listen, I'm going to call it a day today, and I really thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. On behalf of our wonderful team over here, Ken, our technical director, Susie, our producer, this is Father Voskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step. And do check out those show notes.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your breath, cut out.